to the show. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We are live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. It's already been a jam-packed show. We had UNC men's basketball coach Steve Smiley on the show. We will talk to the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, Mark Johnson. The Buffs fall a bit short last night against Tennessee, but it's Tennessee. It's a pretty good basketball team. So we'll talk to Mark more about that. Introducing a brand new friend to the program, a new sponsor of the program, Sweetheart City Racing in Loveland. And I'm talking foot racing, too. I don't want people to like think I'm going to be getting in a car, and but we're talking actually getting out and running marathons. And I've got the co-owner of Sweetheart City Racing with me, Shane McWaters. Shane, great to have you on the show, man.
Yeah, thanks, Brady. Thanks for having us.
So we're talking I'm going to be participating.
You're in, man.
On one of the guy, it's already done.
It's done.
February 13th.
February 13th. Yep.
And
yep, Saturday.
So we got a race we want to talk about this weekend.
Yeah.
And you didn't make me do that one. So
we can't. I mean, you still got 2.5 days. We're close.
I think I twisted my ankle.
Yeah.
You saw the limp when I walked in here.
You're kind of gimping coming.
So I got that. I got that thing.
Old football injury.
Yeah, an old football wound. So we'll try to get that healed up.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So let's tell our listeners a little bit about you guys, what you do. Obviously, races, we know what that means, but talk about the business.
Yeah, so thanks for asking. Thanks for having me on, too.
Yeah.
We kind of started this thing through, we joke all the time that we kind of got voluntold to take over the Liberty 5K, which is our biggest race on the 4th of July. Gosh, probably 6 or 7 years ago at this point. But then it's just morphed into that, into what it is now. We have 10 total races that we put on and a few other events outside of that. And I co-own it with my wife, Sarah, and she's the brains behind the operation and the good looks and all of the things. I just do what I'm told.
So, I think our first conversation, I gotta talk this over with the boss. Your wife, probably, right?
Yep, that's it. Yep. We've been married for 18 years and been
awesome.
Business partners in this thing for a bunch of years after that. And total family business. I mean, our kids are involved. Avery and Keegan. Avery's our 16-year-old, and Keegan's our 14-year-old, and they get up with us early on race day and get after it and work hard and do everything. So,
and I'm sure you guys always get along 100% of the time.
All the time. No problem.
No fights,
ever.
Nothing.
Getting kids out of bed at 4:30 in the morning, teenagers, not a problem.
Not an issue there.
Not a problem.
Oh, man.
They might just now be waking up to hear this. Maybe.
Well, we podcast everything. So
okay,
even
so
if they're still asleep,
they can catch the playback.
They can catch the rest of it later on.
Yeah.
Well, these are all great causes, too. So this race that's happening this weekend. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, so the Toy Drop is a race that benefits Realities for Children, and we do a toy drive for them. It's a lot of fun. We have a van that we named Bernice. Actually, again, Sarah named her Bernice.
Yeah.
It's an old 88 van, and the goal is to fill Bernice with toys for Realities for Children. So, awesome cause. We were fortunate last year. They had us up to their facility and just saw the massive undertaking. And they deal specifically with kids in northern Colorado, helping take care of them around Christmas time. So, yeah, they've got a list. We've got a list on our site, or a link on our page that shows kind of what they're looking for. The big thing right now is bicycles.
Bicycles, okay.
So, yeah, so people can bring – we actually ask our participants to bring a toy to the start line, and then we have some Christmas boxes lined up of about 100 yards down, and they actually literally drop the toy in the box as they take off on the race. So it's pretty fun that way.
And you guys have a lot of this information, too, if you know, about the race, everything that goes into it. And that's what's unique. I mean, these are races, but there's always some kind of – there's always some kind of good cause surrounding the race.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's kind of one of our core values is we want to find a local, you know, beneficiary. And frankly, how the business has grown from one race into the 10 that we have now is kind of through, you know, organizations calling us wanting to, you know, kind of put on a fundraiser or something like that. And then we talk to them about what all goes into it. And they say, why don't you guys just do it? And
yeah.
And so, yeah, we each one of our races has that. We had a race on Thanksgiving Day, a little fun run, and that was for the Glen Haven and Risk Canyon Volunteer Fire.
Wow.
So that was – it was fun to kind of be – and they had fire trucks at the start line and rang those every time they started. Because we have to do wave starts now through all this, you know, kind of COVID stuff.
Yeah.
We're doing wave starts. So every 10 minutes they were sending off a fire alarm. The neighbors love that. So
Shane McWaters joining us, co-owner of Sweetheart City Racing in Loveland. For those listeners for this weekend, too – tell us a little bit about Realities for Children.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people have heard that name, but really go into what they're about.
Yeah, they I don't know everything that they do, but they are highly involved with helping local kids, kind of foster kids, get families and just kind of reintroduced into society and have given them a good stable home and that kind of thing. We're partnered with them on the, you know, the toy side of it.
So, right.
But I mean, they have a warehouse. I don't know how big this thing is, but it's easily the size of a couple of basketball courts.
Wow.
And we were in there last year, after the toy drop, to drop off everything. And the thing was jam packed. And for us just to be a small part of that is so fun. And like I said, our participants love it too. I mean, they get to, you know, kind of, this is fun. One guy actually tried to ride a small little, like, 13-inch bicycle to the start line a year or so ago. I think that's quite going to work.
Yeah, we're going to get tired after that.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And again, these are kids, you know, that have dealt with some severe stuff.
Severe stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And they're trying to get into a better situation.
Yes.
And I know I was fortunate. Great, great family. Great. But I tell you, toys, no matter where you grew up, whatever,
yeah,
is huge.
Yeah.
And especially for these kiddos.
Yeah.
Man.
And just to be able to give them something around Christmas time that they can look forward to. And some of them know that maybe something's come up. Some of them, they're totally surprised from what we've heard. So.
So bicycles are the big thing.
Used,
new, what are we looking
for? They're looking for new.
New, okay.
Yeah,
I think on
the bike side, and I don't know this for sure, but I think on the bike side, they'd probably take, if it's, you know, kind of gently used, I think they would probably take that. But they have a list. We have a list on our website.
Okay.
I believe it's on our website. And on our Facebook page, we have an email list that goes out every week, and they've got a what's it called, Amazon Smile list that kind of shows everything that they really need and what they're looking for. So tons of stuff, but really anything that people can come up with is not going to be, they deal in kids from birth to all the way to age 17. So fun stuff for them.
Great opportunities.
Yeah. Great opportunities.
And it, like I said, people are going to go out and run it. Runners, or if you're getting new to it, whatever, you're going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
Do it for a cause that actually matters, especially throughout Northern Colorado.
Yeah. And for us, that was a big thing too. You just hit the nail on the head. We wanted it to be a Northern Colorado thing. You know, specifically right here in Larimer, or for us in Larimer County. And Greeley area as well. But yeah, the impact that those guys have in this area specifically is amazing.
Yeah.
And it's just super fun for us to be a part of that in some small way.
So is registration over for this race?
No.
Can folks, involved?
Man. It's not too late for you, Brady. We can still get you in.
Dang, I mean, the good cause, can I just give the toy and then just like wave at everybody? Because I mean, I got to get my Rocky music
theme on. But we may or may not make fun of you for just, you know, showing it. And there's, you know, we're partnered up with Bertha Brewing over in Loveland at their location out west of town. And you can get $1 off a beer when you're done. So,
yeah, that makes, you know. I told you, I said, put a brewery in front of me.
Yeah.
And I'm back in my high school days, man. I'm taking off a sprint, but it won't last very long. I'm going to sprint and then I die and then it's over.
That'll get you about to the first turn.
Well, and I asked Shane too, when we were on the phone, I'm like, okay, before I commit to this, what kind of training do I need to be? Because my wife looked at me, she's like, you're going to do this. Don't you think you should start running now and kind of get ready to go? And I'm like, I'll be fine.
No problem.
But what do I do here?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, the first thing we tell people, if you're not used to going on that kind of distance, and I am not a trainer. This is just what has worked for me, because I was not a runner growing up at all. I was a musician, so I sat and played music. That was it, right? My brother was a Division I track and cross country.
Oh, wow.
So he knows what he's doing. So I asked him, and same thing, he told me back then, and we tell people now, it's just time on your feet. When you're starting out, you know, just say, okay, I'm going to go out for 30 minutes. I'm going to move for 30 minutes. I don't care how far I go, but for 30 minutes, I'm going to go move.
So I can walk if I need
run,
to.
Whatever. Yeah, hobble, okay. You know, crawl on your hands, whatever it takes.
Yeah, lay there and roll.
You're right.
I might end up doing that.
We were talking earlier about that commercial where they're rolling down.
It could be me in this race.
And which would make for some awesome marketing for us. So
if you
want to do that, that'd be
fantastic. Yeah, I'll do whatever. I have no respect anymore for myself. So I'll do whatever you guys need me to do.
These are the kinds of relationships we like.
I'm just thinking, though. I'm like, you know, last time I did any kind of long distance running was when I was in high school, just during track practice.
Yeah.
And I'm 34, so I'm thinking, I'm like, I don't do anything like that now. Yeah. Man, this could be interesting.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you.
So 30 minutes.
Yeah, so just start out and just say, okay, I'm gonna go for 30 minutes or whatever you decide you want to do, 15, whatever the number is. But knowing that you can maintain some sort of consistent pace for that time, again, whether it's running, walking, however you do that, if you got to run, walk, whatever, just go, all right, 30 minutes today, I'm going to go. Grab the dog, go get it.
Yeah.
And then we start talking about, okay, let's put a strategy together. What's it going to take for you to, depending on what you, you know, if the goal is just survival.
That's exactly what the goal is. I do not anticipate winning anything. I don't think I'm going to beat anybody. I'm just trying to stay alive.
Yeah. Well, and there's a little strategy that goes into this too, because some people will run as couples. And
okay.
So we have people that will literally look at the start list and figure out, like, okay, I know I can beat them, but if we sign up together, like, you know, husband, wife, or friends, or whatever, we have a couple people that they've been friends for a long time, they'll run it together. And we do have a awards system for couples as well. So, you know, you might could find your, you know, if your wife was is good, she can lead the team and carry you the rest. She could put you on her shoulders and carry the team. You can come in wherever.
Well, I already asked her, and she's like, I'll donate to whatever cause. We'll do it, but I'm not running. Colfax is the only thing I could think of outside my wife, next couple I can think of. I'm Colfaxing it, right? And he's already like, dude, I'll hook you up with whatever, but I don't know.
I think I can. I'm going to work on him.
I think so. He gave you a little bit of a there was a look there that was like, I might. You know what? I might have the eye of the tiger in me.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
With the right stuff, he can go.
And you already talked to one of our producers who's like, do I get a prize for coming in last place? It's like, you know, these guys are working on you now, trying to get prizes for nothing.
Yeah.
So
we can work stuff out.
Okay, so that race, again, tell us more about that race coming up. That's February 13th.
February 13th, yeah. So that's that race has been a long time, been around a long time. We partnered a couple of years ago now with the Visit Loveland organization, to kind of Chamber of Commerce folks. And so we moved the race downtown. It's a great, great course, super fun, 4 miles. So we're gonna step you off right. We're going to just forget 5K. We're going straight to 4 miles.
Oh.
So, yeah.
I was really looking at that mile thing.
Oh, by the way.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Yeah.
30 minutes every day. Do I need to be like going 30 minutes every day, or can we like
do 30 minutes for a couple weeks and then we'll talk? Let me know how it goes.
Oh man, I am excited though. This will be a lot of fun.
Well, and to your point earlier too, like we have a Thursday night group run that we actually meet at breweries, so that gets you back in there.
How long of a run is that? Are we talking?
We call that it's called an ultra 5K.
Okay.
And so, without going too far into detail, we couldn't, when we started this group, we couldn't find an exact 5K route, and everything intended to be a little bit longer than 5K, so a little bit more than 3.1 miles. So we just started calling it ultra 5K, but the good thing is there's always beer at the end because we run from breweries and we rotate four.
Having that in my
breweries.
Head helps.
Yeah, I'm trying to plant that seed.
Yes, the beer. Go to the beer. Yeah, do you guys talk when you're running, or is everybody quiet?
So the ones that are in shape will talk while they're running. For those of us in the back of the pack, we're just trying to not throw up. So
it's gonna be me. What about headphones? Can you do music?
Yeah, I'll do music if you want to. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So you can have Rocky playing the whole time.
That's what I'm thinking. I just repeat that thing.
Absolutely.
How long do you think I can, like, what's a good time I should be shooting for
the 4 miler?
For the 4 miler.
I think for you, I mean, you're a healthy guy. I would say 40, 45 minutes, somewhere in there is a sit, because that's about a 10 minute pace.
Okay.
And, you know, with a little bit of training, a little bit of effort. Starting, you know, hearing about what time are you off today?
I'm just going to run everywhere I go now.
Yeah.
Just going to run it.
Just run to the car.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the car's right out front, so that might make me tired there. What's the cause, like, with this race? What's the underlying kind
with
of
the
theme?
With the Sweetheart Classic.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so we've, in years past, we've contributed to the local middle school and high school cross country and track teams.
Okay,
so
awesome.
We really try to just kind of, because one thing we want to do, too, is really bring that youth along. You know, we see so many kids. We've got a couple of kids that show up to these races, man, and they're gone. I mean, you just won't even see them. And it's cool because it's like that's the next generation. You know, then we've got, you know, through this race, you'll see a wide range of kids, you know, kids all the way up to people in their 80s, you know, stuff like that. So this one, we really try to focus on the local track and cross country teams and help kind of spur those programs along.
I talk about it all the time, whether you're in the band, whether you're doing sports, whatever, the chess club, whatever, having those activities is just absolutely huge.
Critical. Yeah. And that's, you know, that's the thing. Like I said earlier, I grew up a musician, whether people are, whatever they're into, sports, whatever. The thing about running that has been so good for us personally, Sarah and I both, and our community, is it's a simple sport.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't take a lot of equipment. You go get a pair of shoes. I mean, you guys have a great local local running store here in town, Altitude Running. These guys are awesome. They fix you up, and you get a pair of shoes, a pair of shorts, and, well, now you want pants because it's 4 degrees outside.
That's true. Yeah, I've got to think about that.
But, you know, the equipment that you need to go run is minimal, and you don't have to go to a gym. You don't have to go anywhere. You just walk out the front door and go. Yeah, simple sport.
I'm gonna document my progress. So we'll start maybe tomorrow. We'll see if we can get something in.
Yeah.
You know, we'll get some running in at some point.
Yeah.
Shane,
awesome.
Good website. What can folks do to go learn more about what you guys do? Learn about the events that you're part of, that you're creating, and then of course the amazing causes that are always behind all these races.
Yeah, good question. Yeah, so our website is the best one, sweetheartcityracing.com. We're on Facebook as well. That's a good one. We do a lot more immediate updates on our Facebook page, so love to have folks follow us on there. We do have an Instagram as well. Same thing, Sweetheart City Racing. Our van is pretty legendary. So hashtag where's Bernice is actually on Instagram as well.
I might be looking for Bernice because I'll be needing somewhere to go hide from everybody. So I will definitely be hashtagging.
Yeah, that's where we stash all the toys for the toy drop this weekend. And any people that don't quite make it far enough, hop on in. We can fit six people comfortably.
I think you told me something. You guys have like proper medical staff around too, which is good. It's good to hear, but it's also terrifying to hear that that I might need something like that.
Yeah, Paul be there right at the finish line waiting on you no matter what happens.
Look out for me.
Yeah, we have oxygen. We keep it all.
Okay. I am actually very excited about this.
It's gonna be awesome.
Looking forward to our partnership with this.
Yeah, likewise.
Anything else you want to throw out there before we let you go, man?
Yeah, just if you're interested in doing something this weekend, like I said, Toy Drop is still going. We're actually turning ahead. I will say this too, we have taken a ton of protocols and things to make sure races are safe and getting together. I mean, I know that's kind of top of mind for everybody.
Sure.
We've had a great relationship with the City of Loveland and Larimer County to kind of make sure that everything we're doing is in line with them to keep everybody safe. So we're doing wave starts. So that's kind of a fun thing too. It's actually turned into something we'll probably keep in some, form or fashion going forward, even once things are back to whatever the new normal is going to be. But I want to just kind of let people know that too. Like we've gone through a ton to be able to do live races. We've been doing live races all summer and all. I mean, we just had one a few weeks ago on Thanksgiving, and that's due in part to the conversations and the partnership with City of Loveland and Larimer County. So all that to be said, like I said, know that when you come, we're going to take care of you. We're going to make sure that all of the safety protocols are there, and we'll just have a good time and have some good music playing and have some beer at the end.
I love it, man. SweetheartCityRacing.com. I love to see great businesses weather the storm and then find some new creative things they can do after all this is done, too, like you said.
Yeah.
Shane, appreciate you, my friend.
Thanks,
I'm
man.
Looking forward to
fun.
It. I can't wait, and we'll be in touch.
Cool. I love it.
I'll have my people call your people.
Do it.
My trainers.
yeah, we'll get the training staff involved.
I think you met two of them, that's those guys. Those are my trainers.
I'll introduce you to some others.
Okay. Might need to upgrade, is that what you're saying? All right, Shane, appreciate you, man.
Thanks, man.
21 minutes after the hour, we'll catch up with Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, when we come back. You've heard my rant on the Pac-12 situation. I don't think you're going to see the best two teams play for the Pac-12 championship. We'll talk about that next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m. It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
Hi, I'm Darren Dunn, Director of Athletics at the University of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show, 1310 KFKA.
Twenty-six minutes after the hour, welcome back to the show. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Joining me now on our First Advantage Hotline, Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. Mark, I'm glad we have you on with us, man, because these schedules, my brain's about to explode. I just saw the news on the football side of things. We're moving from Friday to Saturday. See you in Utah. Is that right?
That is correct now. So instead of a late evening game, a 7:30 kickoff on Friday night, it'll be breakfast with the Buffaloes because we're going to kick off at 10 o'clock Mountain Time a.m. on Saturday morning with Utah. So it won't be an evening in the snow. It's going to be a morning in the snow now for the Buffs and the Utes.
Wow. Well, and I also saw, I'm getting the reports, too. What about the Washington-Oregon side of things, too? We're keeping our eyes on that game. And that takes us to a broad discussion about the Pac-12 in general. But, man, there's still a lot to happen, Mark, before we even get to some of these kickoffs.
Listen, I count on nothing for any one of our broadcasts until I see either the opening tip-off or the opening kickoff. That's when I know it's actually going to happen. Until then, I am, there was a great old line George Burns once said. He said, I'm so old I never buy green bananas, I'm kind of feeling the same way. I count on nothing until I'm actually seeing the game starting. So that's just the way it is in 2020.
Mark, what have you heard? Have you heard any discussion? I mean, again, we just talked about rescheduling, moving from Friday to Saturday, so it's going to happen. But was there any discussion that the Pac-12 might say, you know what, we'd rather try to make CU, USC play that game they were supposed to play? Because that's the game that everybody wants. That's the game that should decide everything.
Yes, that conversation has been had by everybody but the people that make the decisions in the Pac-12.
Wow.
So Yeah, and Brady, it's perplexing. I did a couple of shows in Salt Lake City this morning, and every time we got talking about that very topic, it you know, that's no slight against the Utes in any way, shape, or form. This game should be Colorado and USC, just like a couple of weeks ago, it should have been Colorado and Washington. When Colorado, Washington, and Utah were sitting there without an opponent, it should have been the Buffs playing Washington. Because, again, every decision that is made this year, well, all the time anyway, but specifically this year, every decision should be made what's best for the conference. How do you put one of your programs in the best position to have itself in the conversation for the college football playoffs? So 2 weeks ago, it should have been Colorado and Washington. Then one of them comes out of it undefeated. And then whoever's left, you try and get them matched up. Other leagues have done this. That's what happened with Notre Dame and North Carolina here a couple of weeks ago in the ACC. They were altering their schedule to put one of their teams in the best position. And it's perplexing to me that the league hasn't done that. But then again, there's a lot of things about this football season, the way it's unfolded, that I'm head-scratching about. So I guess I shouldn't be surprised. It's just disappointing.
Well, and that's the first thing that's disappointing. And the other thing is, it's 2020. I get we have the Pac-12 North, we have the Pac-12 South. It's sacred. But now more than ever, can't we just say, hey, we want to make sure that we have the two best teams play each other that are in the Pac-12. Is there not, if we're not going to make CU at USC at some point play each other, then why not we just take the top two teams from the entire conference and away we go?
Boy, it's a crazy idea you've got there, Brady. That's nuts of you to think of that kind of thing. Yeah, I know. It makes perfect sense. You could have, think of that for a second, depending on what happens now with the Oregon and Washington game, but you could potentially have a two-loss team out of the North playing an undefeated, either, I guess it would have to be under these circumstances, both undefeated USC and Colorado. So a two-loss team playing USC if they both end up undefeated in the conference championship game, and a 5-0 undefeated top 20-ranked Colorado football team, that's one of the more entertaining teams in America, not playing for a conference championship, and in no discussion whatsoever. I mean, it just makes no sense whatsoever. And then I think you know the way that this unfolds then. The first and second game the following weekend now. So let's say it's Washington and USC playing in the conference championship game. That would be potentially in Boulder, Colorado, without the Buffs playing in it. And then the other two teams, the two second-place teams, in this case I guess it would be Oregon and Colorado, would play also that weekend on Saturday in Folsom Field. And then what would happen if one of the two teams in the championship game has a COVID issue, the number two team from that division would step up. I mean, it's nearly impossible to follow. I just confused myself trying to explain it to you, for goodness sake. So, I mean, the whole thing is just surreal and bizarre. I guess it's perfect for the last month of 2020, the way things have gone.
This is, but the other thing that's perplexing is I'm not even talking about fair or unfair. This is what's best for your conference. You want the two best teams. You, if they're ranked, my goodness, right there. If you're a top 25 team, I got two of them. I want those guys playing. I'm hopeful that it all works out. This is the year to do it. This is the year to bend all the rules and try something that actually is the best for your conference.
But listen, in 2020, the way everything has gone, there are no concrete rules. There are only suggestions, and we all try and abide by them. And then from an athletic standpoint, you move your way forward, and if something makes sense, you do it. I mean, you can ask the guys in my broadcast crew, and they just get sick of me saying that. Every decision we make, my producer will look at me, what do you think? And I always say, what's the best move for the broadcast? Every organization should be living with that mindset, right? What is the best move for this particular organization? In this case, we're talking about a college conference with a lot of money on the line when it comes to playing in a college football playoffs. What's the best position to put one of our teams in a position to be in that conversation and potentially get in? We've already put ourselves behind the eight ball because we've shortened the schedule to only seven games when it's all said and done. So our resume is not as deep as everybody else's around the country. So then we've got to be smarter and make better decisions to try and put ourselves in a position to be there. But that's not the case. So, you know, we could be sitting here now. The Buffs have got to take care of business on Saturday morning against Utah, and USC's got to take care of business against UCLA. And, you know, it wouldn't shock me if UCLA beat USC. That's very possible. And so that could happen, in which case then the Buffaloes are the undefeated team. And you know, you suppose they go, unless there's something I don't know about, go to the Pac-12 championship game. But, I mean, you know, who knows? I mean, the whole thing is just so bizarre. And I was with Carl Durrell this morning. We were shooting a couple of television segments, and I was got talking about this too with him, and he just said, you know what, all I can do is go out and win on Saturday. That's all I can do. Win on Saturday. We're 5-0. We've done what we have to do, and the other things, as coaches like to say, we can't control, so we can't worry about it.
Yeah, and like you said, that's the first thing, because none of this conversation matters at all if they can't take care of business against Utah this weekend. Wow, though. I mean, this team has been so much fun to watch, specifically Jarek Broussard. I thought that stat line, Mark, I mean, again, if you watch the game, you see him breaking off these monster runs, but I thought that stat line was a typo.
301 yards and no touchdowns?
Oh, my goodness. It's absolutely nuts to me.
I was joking out of the air. He's the most giving guy in the world. He runs it all the way down inside the 10 and gives it to somebody else so they can score a touchdown.
Wow.
See, that's what you call teamwork there, Brady. But and Carl was giving him a hard time. You know, he's still got a brace he wears on his knee. And Carl was saying, we got to get rid of that brace. You know, you can't break away and score touchdowns. If he didn't have that brace on, he would have scored 3 touchdowns in that game. Yeah, you know, I got to look into that. I can't imagine that anybody's ever rushed in a Division I college football game for over 300 yards and not scored a touchdown. I find that hard to believe that's ever happened before, but he certainly was impressive. I mean, the line opened up some holes. He got what the line blocked for, and then, you know, he's able to, with that unique ability he's got, elude people, keep his balance, get by people, break tackles, and pick up some enormous yardage. But that was one of the finer games you'll ever see for running back. And then overall, I mean, the Bucs ran, you know, rushed for 407 yards in that game. So they did the job on the ground, undoubtedly. That's why this game this weekend is kind of interesting. Utah runs the ball very well, and so this has kind of got an old-style football kind of feel to it, 3 yards and a cloud of snow, I guess it could be, on Saturday.
Yeah, I've been seeing tweets, you know, about CU and where they're ranked and even the idea that they sniff the college football playoffs. I saw tweets, well, they're one-dimensional. College football doesn't want one-dimensional team. Well, maybe so, but that one dimension is really, really good and really, really entertaining.
But I didn't realize that there had to be style points.
Right?
In it, right?
No, I don't understand any
of
it.
I thought it was win football games. You've got one of the great stories in the country in Sam Noyer. Jarek Broussard's becoming one of the elite running backs in America. You've got arguably the best linebacker in the country in Nate Landman. It's a great story with Carl Durrell coming back to Colorado, getting here late, all he's worked through. I think it's a phenomenal story. You know, I just wish the national – I was just on with, like I said, a couple of shows in Salt Lake City, and I was on with Bill Riley, the voice of the Utes, and he said, Mark, if this were anybody like UCLA or USC or even Oregon, he goes, what you guys have done would be a national story. But because it's Colorado, they've been down for a while, no one's talking about it. And it's too bad, because it is a great, great story.
Carl Durrell should be the coach of the year. I mean, I get we're all in this weird COVID situation, but his was even, you know, you double that with the terrible Mel Tucker situation, the bad taste that left in everybody's mouth. Carl Durrell comes and saves the day, and not only are you giving hope for the future, you're undefeated. I mean, that's huge.
Listen, if they end up 6-0, and Carl Durrell is not strongly in the running. Now, you might be able to make an argument for somebody else out there, but I don't think if they end up 6-0, anybody would have done more unexpected than what Carl Durrell has done under tougher circumstances than what Carl Durrell has done. So he has got to be. If they end up in that situation, now you got to win 2 more games to get there. You end up at 6-0, even 5-1, you got to make a strong case for it, because what he's done really is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Considering, remember, before the season, the over-under wins for Colorado was 1.5. So think about that.
And I'll admit, Mark, I didn't have any expectations at all for CU. My expectations were treat these like scrimmages, get to know your team a little more, and pack it in, load up for next year. I never thought in a million years we'd be talking about being a top-ranked team, playing for the Pac-12 championship, and maybe even looking at the college football playoffs. Not in a million years would I have said that's what we were going to be talking about.
Well, Brady, think about it. And I got asked, you know, this morning about one of those shows, you know, are you surprised? I'm like, well, you have to be surprised. I mean, you can't think about where the program has been, the circumstances with which he took over. You've got guys in this team like Nate Landman have had 3 coaches in 3 years. You knew nothing about it. You lost a 4-year starting quarterback who statistically is one of the best that ever played at Colorado. You're going to start a safety at quarterback, for goodness sakes. Your top running back gets hurt for the season with a hip injury. I mean, go on down the line here, and you're just like, Well, I don't think that, you know, you hope for the best, and, you know, maybe they can get, they play six games, boy, maybe they can get three, that'd be awful nice, but to sit here and be thinking that you're talking about a 4-0 and then a 5-0, potentially a 6-0 football team, I mean, you know, everyone's optimistic, and fans are always, you know, like, yeah, boy, it'd be great, but when you really sit down and objectively look at it, you'd say, well, that's probably not going to happen. So that's why this is such a fun story, and you got to give Carl so much credit for what he's done.
Yeah, no question about it, Mark. Didn't get a chance to talk a lot about this one from last night. The Buffs, though, found themselves down early, atop, what, 10? What is Tennessee, 12?
12, yep.
Found themselves down way big time early. Fought all the way back, made it interesting, dropped that game against Tennessee, but that's a nice kind of tester to see where you are at this point early on when we've had pauses and all that. I think you walk away from that game, you take more positives than negatives.
Well, you'd like to. You know, you're just disappointed with the start. I mean, to go out and drop, you know, didn't shoot the ball well, you turn the ball over way too many times, 23 times by the time it was all said and done, and dig yourself that kind of hole is disappointing for Tad Boyle and that basketball team. Now, They do come back. As you said, they were down 16. It was 26-10. They trailed by 7 at the half. They pulled back with 33-31 and then kind of hung in that 3-7 area for the rest of the ball game. And because of a couple of foul shots towards the end of the 9-point game instead of a 5-point game. But, yeah, so they were able to come back. And Brady, you've probably heard me say this before. I say it all the time. It's easy to come back. It's hard to come back and win. And when you're playing a quality opponent like they were yesterday on the road, don't have to deal with the crowd situation, but still, you're on the road away from home. That's an awful tough task to dig yourself that kind of hole and come back. Now, what it does show you is how formidable this team can be. But again, you've got to be able to take care of the basketball better, and you've got to. I think what they did offensively, why they struggled so much, they got a little short-sighted, forced a few shots, didn't really allow the system to kind of develop out there, and they got relied upon McKinley. And what teams will do with him, he is such an important cog for this team. When they really try to take the ball out of his hands, someone else has got to, you know, be the orchestrator out there. And I think that's something this team will learn from an early season game against a high-quality opponent, and hopefully they grow from that.
No question about it. Mark, appreciate you running through all that with us. Next up for CU, it's CU Northern Colorado, right? I have to ask with a giant question mark because I'm looking at schedules. I think the most 2020 moment when you look at schedules is CU on their website. It's December 8th at Tennessee, December 8th versus Colorado School of Mines, and December 8th versus Colorado State.
Exactly.
So,
right.
I mean,
right now, in fact, I just got some promos for some of our network affiliates, and I'm cutting it for Monday and Wednesday's games, and I'm kind of chuckling, like, you know how many times I may have to change these by the time it rolls around. Right now, as it stands, the Buffs basketball team will host the Bears of Northern Colorado on Monday night at 7 o'clock at the Event Center. So that's, again, write that down, but write it in pencil, right?
Yeah, we're editing schedules on a daily basis here. So,
yeah.
Mark, I appreciate you, my friend. Great work from you, working on the fly, ready to rock and roll. Always love your broadcast and what you do, my friend.
All right, you guys have a great week.
All right, Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. I took a snapshot of this, Colfax. It's hilarious. December 8th at Tennessee. This is CU's schedule. December 8th at Tennessee, 4 o'clock. December 8th, Tuesday, versus Colorado School of Mines, 6 o'clock. December 8th, Tuesday, 6 o'clock against Colorado State. They haven't edited it. They leave it up there to let you know that they cancel it. In fairness, they write canceled next to it. But if you just glance at the left side of the schedule, you see three games in one night for the Colorado Buffaloes. That's how nutty this whole thing is. 41 minutes after the hour, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Dan Patrick, The Hull Show, and Colin Cowherd are on Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA.
This is Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
So, couple of schedule updates for you. The CU-Utah football game, that's my game of the week because of what it really means to this program, Pac-12 championship or no Pac-12 championship. That has been moved from Friday to Saturday, as Mark told us. Kickoff set for 10:05 in the morning. And if you're the Buffs, yeah, it's must win. And then you're rooting heavily for UCLA to pull off an upset against USC. I don't understand it, Colfax. That's what our whole minute is about. Why would the Pac-12 not, like, what is the, I'd like to know the reason behind it, because there's always, it seems like if they're good programs, whatever, they're good people, there's always a reason why, you know, if it seems fishy, then you do your research on, okay, that's why, that makes sense. CSU, for example, that's where I'm getting at, that's what I'm getting at. They tweet this yesterday, it looks, or the other night, it looks like they're just glossing over the UNC game and, oh, they're going to play somebody else because they don't want to play UNC, they don't mention it. Well, the truth is, the whole situation is that they'd rather have a few, in my opinion, this is me projecting, I think they'd rather have a few practices, a few games under their belt before what should be a great basketball game for the state. So we can look at it and go, oh, man, that's kind of crappy of Colorado State. And then you get you do some research behind it, you talk to the powers that be, and you go, all right, yeah, you know what, I'm sympathetic to it. I get it. It makes sense. The tweet was probably poorly timed, but it makes sense. What is the reasoning for the Pac-12? I mean, it's a win-win, man. It's for you. I'm not talking as a homer here. Colfax, I don't think you're a huge Buffs fan. Wouldn't you rather see the best two teams play each other in the conference?
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
And we've already proven that we will reschedule a football game on a Friday. In fact, the Pac-12 has it in their 2020 bylaws that if they schedule a non-conference game, because at first they said no non-conference games. Well, now they said, all right, if you're going to do it because you had to cancel a conference game, you can do it. But the Pac-12 team will have, it will be within their power to say, oh, no, you know what? We found a conference game suddenly. And they could do that up to what, Thursday night or something like that, if the game was supposed to be Saturday? So you've already proven that you can reschedule and schedule games on the fly within a day's notice. Why would you not have CU play USC? Like, this is what drives me crazy about the NCAA. You could put so much of this talk away. You could put so much of this garbage about, oh, well, they should be the Pac-12 champ. You could get rid of all that. We don't have to have the should-bes anymore. CU is a good team. They're undefeated. Are they better than Oregon? Are they better than Washington? I don't know. But the record indicates that CU is undefeated. Oregon's lost 2, and Washington has lost 1. So, and it also indicates that CU is a ranked team, and USC is a ranked team. Washington is not. Oregon is not. You have the chance to do this. This is not a normal year. And you know what? Maybe you learn something from it, where college football, you don't have to follow your blueprint anymore. You can actually say, wow, it turned out we're doing North and South. Doesn't really make sense. At the end of the day, we want the two best teams playing each other. At some point, it's just ridiculous to me. On the Rocks Liquor presents our game beer of the week each and every week. This one's from Breckenridge Brewing. It's a Holidale Christmas Ale. Holidale. I said it right. Christmas Ale. 4 packs. 10.5% alcohol content, Colfax. That'll do the trick. Yeah, I mean, you drink. That's probably what the folks at the Pac-12 are drinking right now. They're just sipping on it, man. You know, standing pat here. Pick up selections from Breckenridge or any of your favorite adult beverages at On the Rocks Liquor. Also, Molly Brown Spirits from Denver. This is the only liquor store in Northern Colorado to carry this stuff. Bourbon whiskey and rye whiskey available at On the Rocks Liquor. 48 minutes after the hour. Closing thoughts coming up next. We have had a jam-packed show today. It's been a lot of fun. I still don't know that I'm any smarter because I'm still very confused about all of it. But we try. We'll be right back.
Catch Inside the Bears Den, presented by Chris Musa Agency, Allstate Insurance, Tuesday nights, Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. Dan Patrick, The Hull Show, and Colin Cowherd are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Do you want to thank Freshco Painters of South Platte? You can get a free mini cooler right now if you call the folks over at Freshco and a free painting quote, 970-414-4131. Dixon Texan, talking about Jerry Jeudy. We talked a little bit about his Twitter and all that. I, at the end of the day, I don't know if it's that big of a deal. I did read a little bit in between breaks about Odell Beckham Jr. and that story, basically coming out saying it was a toxic environment that Pat Shurmur and the management, they didn't do what was best for their roster, kind of alienated Odell Beckham Jr. So if Judy's retweeting because of that, then yeah, maybe we have problems. Maybe he wasn't. Dixon said, Jeudy, this is what happens when you lose and players get frustrated in a losing culture. You don't usually hear the Jeudy type stuff when teams are winning. He's a rookie. hell does he know about losing culture in the NFL? It's your first year. I'm sorry, but rookies have no room to say things about losing culture right now. They weren't a part of the losing culture last year. I don't have a problem with the "at least I got my cardio in" tweet. I don't really have an issue with that. He deleted that one, though. I do have a problem, whether I love Pat Shurmur or not, and trust me, I'm frustrated with Pat Shurmur. I do have a problem with retweeting a negative story. And again, he didn't retweet the negative story. He retweeted Odell Beckham Jr. about "the truth will come out." Well, this is a big story today. So, I mean, you do the math. He's retweeting it in support of Odell Beckham Jr. and then saying shortly after, "it all makes sense." So now that you kind of look at it, because this is a huge story. You know, this is out and about. This is out there now. And a lot of people are talking about it. I mean, this was put out yesterday by Peter Bott in the New York Post about Odell Beckham Jr. I mean, he's relaying what's happening here. So a tough situation, but that doesn't give you an excuse. You're a rookie. I mean, if Von Miller says something like this, I'm still not crazy about it. You know, it's still not good. But at least Vaughn can go, "I've been a part of these terrible seasons for 4 or 5 years now, and I'm frustrated, and I'm done." Rookies don't have clout, man. I mean, not like this. You can't be talking about this. You can't be coming out saying, you know, throwing your team under the bus or any of your leadership. So, I mean, I don't care if it's you're losing or not. You got to be very careful. So I do think the Broncos have to have a conversation with him, and I think they have to clear the air. Because this isn't good. You can't have your top for your first round draft pick be that frustrated early on. Again, he can be frustrated, but you can't show it on social media about your offensive coordinator. And this is where Vic Fangio has to step up. He has to fix this. This is what you're the head coach for. You don't just get to go into your dark room and study film and be a coordinator. You are the head coach, which means you deal with the players. You deal with their personalities, and you deal with them when they're frustrated. He's got to fix that. It's another issue under Vic Fangio. Busy show today. Shout out to UNC coach Steve Smiley. We got UNC hoops on tonight. Pregame at 6. Tip off at 6:30. Thanks to Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, our new friend Shane McWaters from Sweetheart City Racing. A lot to get to tomorrow. We'll be back at it. Good night, Northern Colorado.